probably heard the story of the real stormy, windy, cold, snow blowing, snow drifting night at church, and the preacher opened the doors, had the fire going, everything, and in came a farmer that he'd been trying to reach for a number of years, but that's the only person that showed up. So the preacher thought, well, no need being a pussyfooter, lay down the preaching. So he preached and he preached and he preached. And when it was all over, the man met him at the back door and they were visiting about the services. And the man said, well, I kind of thought you went a little long tonight. And he said, well, sir, when you go out to feed your cattle and only one shows up, you still feed them, don't you? He said, yes, sir, but if only one shows up, I don't feed them the whole load. So tonight, but this is a good group of people. I'm glad tonight that you're here. You're a part of a blessing to the preacher tonight. Thank you for being here. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. The title of the message tonight is Accountability. One of the problems we have in our city, our country today, is that people want to do whatever they want to do and then not be held accountable for it. They want to steal and rob and ruin and even murder and then not be held responsible for it. And of course, that happens because they've kind of been trained that way by mamas and daddies and by liberal judges and people that just play at being honest and so forth. But we need to understand as we get into the message tonight, in fact, we're going to talk about a number of things that you and I will give an account to God for from the time we got saved, if you're saved, from the time we got saved until we stand before Him. So let's begin reading in verse number 19, chapter 6 of Matthew. The Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And fact is, let me just stop here and just tell you, if you gave me a list of all the places you've spent money this year so far, I could tell you where your heart's at, just based on that verse right there. If you just gave me a listing of how much money you spent where, we could draw a line and we could find out where your heart's at. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so as you look at this portion of Scripture, the Bible is simply trying to encourage us with some things that we need to be looking forward to the time we're going to stand before the Lord. Part of our training in life is to learn what's really important in life. It seems like today that there's some stores, I think Sears, and of course maybe that's the reason they're going out of business, but Sears has what they call the good, better, and best product. They say this one's good, this one's better, this one's best. And there's a lot of people today who are seeking to live their life with the good and the better, and they're not really willing to sacrifice enough to make it the best. And could I say to you that as long as you're not living the best life that you can, you'll always look at people who are, and you'll be somewhat envious. You'll be a little bit jealous. You'll think that they're cheating at the something or another. You'll think that they're doing things they shouldn't do and all those types of things. And so we need to try to have the best life we can possibly have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're satisfied with the good and the better, then we're going to miss out on the best. Oftentimes, the least important thing demands the most attention, and we give it to it, and we suffer because of it. Now, let me ask you these questions, and you answer them in your own mind. Which of these things are most important to you? Eternal things or present things? Your soul or your body? Spiritual things or worldly things, which is a lot like the first question. Life itself or more things in this world. Moral things or physical things. The inner man or the natural man. A good name or riches. And of course, Proverbs tells us a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And so God gives us simply the answer there. Now, many of our problems come because we emphasize the lesser important thing and sacrifice that which is most important. And so we want to look at some things tonight, and we're going to go chronologically down in several places where the Bible speaks about our standing before the Lord, and we're just going to notice some of these things. A little bit of it be repetitive. But I guess if God said it twice, it's because he didn't want us to miss it, right? So in the book of Romans, chapter number 14, if you will, please, we find the first thing. These are things that we're going to give an account for to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Now remember when we talked about the things that are coming, the next things that are coming in prophecy, the next thing to happen is the Lord Jesus calling us out of here, the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ rise. Someone says that that's proof that Baptists are going to be there first. Dead in Christ rise first. No, that means people who have died, who are believers and they've died, they're gonna be resurrected first. But then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the rest of us are going to be caught up too. So they're not going to be very far ahead of us, I don't think. But we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall ever be with the Lord. And then, of course, there's the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what we're talking about here. At the same time here on earth, the tribulation is taking place. And so we certainly don't want to be here for the tribulation. Thank God we're saved from the wrath of God. And he describes the tribulation as the wrath of God. And so we don't have to worry about the tribulation. But God doesn't tell us how bad things might get, how difficult they might get prior to the second coming of Christ, prior to the rapture. So here in Romans chapter 14, we find God speaking about our conduct. This, I think, is our conduct on a regular basis, our daily conduct, how we walk through this world. And, of course, chapter 14, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Of course, he's writing to believers. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." And so here God is telling us some things. Number one, let me say, it's always easier and somewhat popular to judge everyone else's business rather than our own. We sometimes want everyone else to clean up their backyard, and our backyard is a mess. We want to talk bad about their kids, and our kids are a mess. And so God says we need to be careful not to do that. We need to watch out about that. Life's decisions, according to verse number 13 we just read, life's decisions must consider other people. What am I going to do? What I'm doing going to affect other people? How is my doing going to affect someone else? We're supposed to be not stumbling blocks, but we're supposed to be stepping stones. We preached a message on that not very long ago, and so we need to understand that. Notice, if you will, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of." And so I know that when we do what we're supposed to do, people are going to speak bad about us. Somebody's going to speak bad about us. But you remember, I believe it was Jeremiah in the Old Testament. They were trying to trump up some charges about him. And this is paraphrased, but as they went around the room and talked about what kind of a charge can we bring about Jeremiah, one man said, well, listen, this much I know. To say something bad about him, you're going to have to lie. What a good testimony. You see, he was living with his conduct was such, he took everybody into account. How is what I'm doing going to affect other people? Now here in verse number 15, the Bible says, even if it's not wrong for you to do something, even if that's absolutely not wrong, if you could stand before God and God says there's nothing wrong with that, if it's causing someone else to stumble, then you're not being what you ought to be if you do it just because I have my rights. He can't show me a chapter and a verse where I shouldn't do that. Yes, I can, right there. As the Bible says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And so the Bible says we're to take charge of our conduct. We're supposed to walk circumspectly, not as fools. Now, it doesn't mean we give up our liberty, and it certainly doesn't mean that we give up enjoying our Christianity. I think the more that we do this with the proper attitude, the more we're going to enjoy life. And so the Bible tells us then in verse number 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. And so if they're lying, saying something bad about you, that's a compliment. But if they're saying something bad about you without lying, that's a condemnation. And we need to understand that. And so the Bible says we're going to be judged for our conduct. Now, if you will, go over a little further into 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Here we find that we're going to give an account for our construction. And there are probably other words we could have used there, but beginning in verse number 11. Again, saved people. Here's a church that's struggling with all kinds of things, and the Apostle Paul's trying to get things lined back out, trying to remind them who it was that saved them, what they're supposed to be doing. So in verse number 11, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, you can have everything else right. You can have the house, the prettiest house on the block. But if it's got a sloppy foundation, Brother Matt's been told that he may be getting a license to be a foundation inspector. Now, that's quite a step and quite a responsibility. Because if he says that foundation is good and it's not, they build a hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of building on top of, now foundation gives away, who's it fall back on? Oh, yes, the man whose name is on the paper. And so the Bible says here that there's no foundation, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so it all starts out with the foundation, and the Bible says that no other foundation will work except Christ. And then he says in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. That's a building that is valuable. That's a building that will withstand. That's a building that will become worth more as time goes on. So he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and then there's another type of a building, wood, hay, stubble. That's a building, you know, you remember when you were growing up, the story of the three little pigs? Yeah, that's right there. Except there's only two of them here. But the Bible testifies that every man's work shall be made manifest. Well, what does the word manifest mean? Manifest means a showing. It's going to be shown what it really is. So every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's the day we stand before the Lord. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So it starts out telling us in verse number 11, that you have to have Jesus Christ, It tells us in verse number 15 that if you lose everything else, if you're saved, you're saved. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that there's nothing that I can do to get out of the hand of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that I'm saved 100% for time and eternity. I'm glad of that. But between those things are some very good warnings for us. How we build, all that we use to build, will meet the fire of the Lord. You know, I talked to Brother John Weaver the other day, and he came over and helped me move a flower pot, for Miss Judy, and he came over and helped me move it. We were visiting, talking for a little bit, he has several jobs that he has a bid in on, and even has been contacted and okayed to do it, but he can't find the wood. He can't find the lumber to do it. 2x6s and 2x8s and 4x4s are almost a thing of non-existent. I talked to a neighbor man yesterday, verified that, said the same exact thing. And I said to Brother John, I said, well, Brother John, when you go out here, just as you get into St. Mary's County on Highway 6, there's a couple of places there that Amish people that cut lumber, they cut hardwood and everything. Can't you go out and just get hardwood and do it? He said, if it's not pressure treated, it won't last. And those people that are going to pay that kind of money to get that kind of a building, they want it to last. And don't you want, when you stand before the Lord and He begins to examine your house, He wants to examine your building? Now, He already knows that the foundation's good, or you wouldn't be there at this meeting. But from the first plank on the top of the foundation, the building begins to rise up, it begins to take form, and God's going to take all of our works, He's going to put them in a pile somewhere, and put a match to them. And then when it quits burning, He's going to dig through the ashes, and if we've had any good works, there be a piece of gold better than it was when it went in. And there's precious stones, wasn't harmed a bit. The silver, more refined than it was when it went in. And everything else just disappears. And of course, in this book, we find a list of the gold, silver, precious stones work. We find lists of the wood, stubble, and hay works. And so we need to understand that every work of ours will bear up or be burnt up when we stand before the Lord. And note the Bible says in our text here, it says every man. In verse number 13, every man. Every man. I thought it was there three times. But another thing it says here too is no man. If any man. And let no man, it says in verse 18. And so we need to understand that no one who's saved is going to be exempt from this test. This isn't a test as to whether or not we get to heaven. If you're not going to heaven, you won't be at this meeting. You'll be down on earth being part of the 2/3 of the world that's going to die during that length of time. So we need to understand that this is very serious. Our construction. Every man, any man, the Bible says there's no exceptions. From a child that just got saved to someone 90 years old who's been saved for 75 or 80 years, every saved person's going to show up there. Go next to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse number 5. We're going to be judged for what we conceal. Verse number 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Our concealing, the things that we thought no one knew about, the things we did where, now we're getting in a time today where people do things on the street, and then all of a sudden they find out someone had a video of it. They get stopped by a police officer, have a nasty attitude, and all of a sudden realize that the police officer had a video. Or the police officer has a nasty attitude and finds out somebody in the car had a video. And so there's been a lot of that revealing of secret thoughts and secret things right here on earth. Can you imagine what it'll be like when we stand before the Lord? What is it the Bible says here? It says, you'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. God said, until we take care of those hidden things, I can't reward you like I want to. I can't speak to you like I want to. We've got to deal with those hidden things. And so God's going to reach down into our heart, and somewhere or another he's going to display our heart to the entire saved body of believers, and there we're going to stand. Now there is a way that we can erase all that. The Bible says if we confess our sins, plural, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural. We're faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgot the last part of it. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we stand before the Lord, it would be possible for us to stand there with a pure heart, a clean heart, a heart where God examines it and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the Bible says, then shall every man have praise of God. And when we get to heaven, that's going to be the only thing that's really important. It's what God says. It's not going to matter what the mother-in-law said or what the next-door neighbor said. Not going to matter. Not going to matter who was mad at us down here for us serving the Lord Jesus. The only thing that's going to matter is, how's our heart before God? We're going to give an accounting for our concealing. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, well, I guess I better go a little further than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this church has begun to have some victory in their lives. And so Paul talks to them about this thing again. Because you see, in John it says that the Lord Jesus is coming, and it said that, that's the purifying hope. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So Paul just keeps reminding them, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Judgment is coming. We're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account. And then he says in verse number 9 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Oh, while I'm here, absent from the physical presence of the Lord, I want to be accepted of him. When I stand in his presence, I want to be acceptable to him. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he says in verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to give an account. And then he says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so here the Bible says we need to stop sometimes and just consider what it's going to be like when we stand before the Lord Jesus. Now I know it's going to end up being okay. I understand that. If you're saved, if you are in this first judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat judgment, some people call it, if you're there, bless God, eternal life is yours. You wouldn't be there if it wasn't so. But there's going to be some embarrassment. It's going to be some heartache. You know, twice in eternity, twice, two different times, the Bible says that God wipes away tears in eternity. Twice. I believe it's one time at each one of these judgments. The first time it's because of what we've done we shouldn't do. And God's going to wipe away the tears after we get things right. And then 1,007 years later, there's going to be a second judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And we're going to weep because of the people that are judged there and cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And of course, our part there will be sad because we didn't live up to our responsibility and brag about Jesus a whole bunch. But for our consideration, the Bible testifies, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Another place it says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, we're not going to get in with a lot of extra. The Bible says scarcely. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And so we have a responsibility. We need to understand we have an accountability. And while we do owe to one another some accountability, I owe to my wife some accountability and she to me, we owe in a church, I think a church situation, there is some accountability that needs to be taken care of. It is my business what you do. It is your business what I do. But certainly, who could ever argue that we're not supposed to be accountable to the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, died, shed his blood, went through all that suffering, all the pain, the humiliation, the shame that he bore for you and I? We're accountable to him. And he's going to call us into account. And these four things, and there's actually three or four other things that we could have looked at tonight, but I felt like this is probably enough for us to chew on for a while. And as we stand before the Lord, we stand before him and we give an account for our words, for our works, for our thoughts, for our actions. What are we going to say? Will we be ashamed? Will we be naked, no good works to offer before the Lord? Remember, if we're truly born again, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give 100% full account of everything we've done from the time we got saved to the time we stand before him. The only way to get rid of any of that baggage is confess it and put it under the blood. It's washed away. God forgets it, even though you and the devil won't. God will. So we need to have a clean account when we stand up and give our account to the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.